No need to check your watch. Your timing is just right. You're listening to Push to Talk with Magneto Mel on EAA Radio.
And welcome back. This is Magneto Mel with Push to Talk. Now I am sitting here with Mr. Bob McIntosh. And you're the Chief Advisor for International Safety Affairs with the NTSB, correct?
That's correct.
Talking to a few of you folks this week. So what's your role with the NTSB? What does the Chief Advisor for International Safety Affairs do?
Well, there's lots of things happening in aviation around the world. And as we know, NTSB is certainly responsible for everything in the United States in regard to accident investigation, but the American products, the U.S. products, airframes and engines and the operators that are out there that might have trouble around the world, we're responsible to participate in those investigations conducted by other nations.
Now, what about, you've got U.S. equipment in accidents, unfortunately, overseas, and then I imagine you also have international flights that occasionally you have something going on here. So how does that work in terms of the authority, the investigation process, and all that?
Well, that's a good way to look at it, because here in the United States, we're responsible for every investigation, regardless of if it's a foreign operator or not. And that's from the International Civil Aviation Organization, our ICAO friends up in Montreal.
As you say, international being Canada and Mexico, so it's not just overseas.
There's 190 countries that signed up for the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, and we all agree that the state of occurrence will be in charge of an accident investigation. And that means if we have one in the United States, we're in charge, but there's lots of other participation from the other international participants that might be involved. Let's say country X has an accident in Atlanta with one of their national airlines. They participate with us as an accredited representative and advisors, but our crew is in charge of the investigation. Vice versa, if we have an American carrier or an American product overseas that gets in trouble, we assist that local nation in their investigation.
Okay, now I see a little bit of, earlier this week I had the pleasure of speaking with Leah Yeager, who had the background with Cessna aircraft investigations before coming to the National Board, and I see that you worked with Beach as
kind
an accident
neighbors.
Investor. Tell me a little bit about that, again, coming from a background of working for a manufacturer and then, being less specialized and more broad with the NTSB.
Exactly. Most of our employees, we have 400 employees, about 120 of them are involved directly in aviation. And that's kind of a small government group, but we're assembled from generally with industry experience of some sort, either with an airline, with a manufacturer, out there with perhaps working for the FAA or one of the other government agencies that might be in aviation. And most of us have a background, I'd say maybe 25% have a background with some military flying of one sort or another. Might have been a short career, might have been a full 20 years, that type of thing. And moving up the ladder and across ways, looking for our contribution to aviation.
And you didn't go direct. You didn't go from Beach to NTSB. I see that you went through the Saudi Arabian Airlines, which I imagine is what kind of leads you into this international realm with the NTSB. But that's a pretty disparate
it's a long road.
Flying environment, I would say. So
how
did you get involved with Saudi Arabian Airlines? And what was that job all about?
That job was they'd had an accident that was very tragic, and they looked at their corporate structure and said, we don't have enough emphasis in proactive accident prevention programs. And they were looking around the country for some folks, and I'd flown Big Iron for the U.S. Air Force and been a flight safety officer and director of safety and military programs. And consequently, I switched over to the civilian side, left Beach, where I was accident investigator and engineer there, and moved to Saudi Arabian Airlines and put together a corporate safety program with flight and ground safety programs, and they've been doing very well ever since. It was time for me to train some local national replacements, and I did that the last few years. I was there with Saudi Arabia, and then it was time to come to the NTSB, and I've been there for 23 years now.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the last interview, but they have the Pacific Aviation Museum in Honolulu, or not in Honolulu, but in Hawaii, and you were there as well with Aloha Airlines for a while.
Well, that was
so you've been all over the domestic
now,
and international.
That Aloha Airlines, that Aloha Airlines statement is good, but I was the investigator that wrote the report.
Okay.
For Aloha Airlines,
got it.
The unfortunate zip top that we had a few years ago. So that's
my
connection.
One of your big mission accidents there.
Exactly.
What else stands out for you in terms of...
Well, I had a couple of big ones right away when I joined the safety board, and a really big one was the accident in Sioux City with Captain Al Haynes and the DC-10. That accident set a new standard for a lot of things, including rotating parts and so on.
And that's
so forth.
One where they had the...
Lost all the hydraulic
systems. Yeah, it had lost the hydraulics, and they had to
that's
use the
right.
different... Yeah, that was amazing. I remember they had a stage play called the CVR. I mean, they called it where they enacted this, and I think that was one of them that they enacted.
It's a fantastic story, and Captain Denny Fitch
took
was
it
in
very personally.
Came up forward into the cockpit and manipulated the throttles while Al Haynes and his co-pilot were watching the ground come up at about 240 knots as they approached the ground.
And they saved flaps, a lot of people.
They sure did.
They saved a lot of people, and I know they were very, very personally invested in that, you know, as far as the people that didn't make it through.
Absolutely, so. And the improvements that have been made in the hydraulic systems, retention of hydraulic systems, and in the rotating parts issues. If you remember, that was an engine that had rotating parts failure, and the fan failed. So the fan disc itself failed and did a lot of damage to the airplane.
I know that also brought to light a lot of the speculation about the odds, you know, because there was no way anything could happen unless, and then that was one of those that just sliced right through all the hydraulics. And
it's amazing how the damage did occur to the three hydraulic systems on board, but really a good investigation, great way to contribute to the aviation safety of the world.
And how does that work? So, you know, accidents like that when you've got something that, you know, you learn from it, and then where do you take that knowledge? Again, I know one of the things that we try to use this forum to impress upon people is that the NTSB is not an authoritative agency. You don't legislate, you don't give tickets, you don't take away licenses, you don't make laws, you just make recommendations,
right? That's right.
Sure
do.
So how do you make those recommendations?
And we make those recommendations based on a lot of facts. And a lot of the investigative exchange that we have with the industry, the titanium industry, in the regard to this disc that failed, the fan disc that failed, in regard to the design engineers and the way they had placed those hydraulic lines, and they thought they'd done a heck of a good job, and they really had. They'd been separated properly. When the disc came apart, it came apart in an unpredictable way, and that unpredictable way caused the damage that was totally unexpected. It was so. Those are the kinds
the
of
nature
things
of unexpected events,
that's
right there.
That's right, and we go out and with our if we could use the word bully pulpit, we use the bully pulpit to talk about the issues with the government people, with the industry folks, and with our congressional folks. So we get movement in those ways for improvements.
And how much influence do you tend to have? I mean, do you generally see your recommendations accepted, turned into? I mean, it's I'm sure got a nice track record.
If it makes its way to a formal recommendation where we're saying something to Randy Babbitt, the administrator of the FAA, through a letter from our chairperson, Deborah Herzman. If it gets that far, it's going to go to about an 80% acceptance rate, 80 to 85%. And the ones that the FAA can't work on in an acceptable manner, perhaps they can work on in some alternative way. So they don't fall off the table, so to speak. Our safety recommendations are well thought of, well
taken
thought
very
out,
seriously.
And taken very seriously by the industry and by the government.
Well, and I imagine there's a lot of forensic background, there's a lot of administrative background with the investigators come to the NTSB from different places, so you're not going to recommend something that's not in the realm of reason.
That's exactly true, and our recommendations, right now we're looking into the EAA issue, and we've got a survey going right now with
and what is that EAA issue?
Well, it's
I spoke with him yesterday.
You spoke with him yesterday, exactly. You spoke probably with
Vern Ellingstad,
and Vern is working very carefully just to find out what the how we can best improve the safety record of this amateur built aircraft. We recently did the same thing with glass cockpit avionics.
Mm-hmm.
We did a study between 2002-2008 that involved about 8,000 aircraft as we transitioned from the analog instruments into the glass cockpits from the offerings of the major manufacturers that were putting that equipment in. And as we looked at that, the analog instruments were becoming less and less, and we finally turned it down to an accident group of 266 accidents, of which there were quite a few fatal accidents. And how did the glass cockpit or the conventional instrumentation affect the outcome of that accident? And that was to drive ourselves towards some safety recommendations, which did culminate, and most recently in a report in 2010. And that report suggests that we haven't reached the desires that we really want to reach to in the safety plateau with our glass cockpit airplanes.
And we've got a lot of new introduction into that with all the electronic flight bag and people using tablets and whatnot. There's a lot of, I know there's a lot of seminars here on iPads and other flying, you know, with that. So
exactly, and we've got it now right down to the amateur build aircraft. And if we go around to the tents and go to the hangars over here in ABCD,
still
we'll
collecting
see
data.
Yeah. We're collecting data from your community here in EAA, just like we collected data from the transition to the glass cockpit, which was single engine, mainly piston driven aircraft. This 8,000 group of 8,000 that we looked at. The ideas that we came up with there are not unlike something you would come up with from the airline industry. As you transition into new instrumentation, you've got to have a different mindset as you approach it, and you've got to have a different feel for the training program, how that training program, whether it be mandated by a Part 25 type operation, or whether it's the pilot and his personal vendor that has sold him the equipment, equipping him with that specific knowledge that allows him to get the most out of the piece of equipment that he's putting in his airplane.
Now, your glass cockpit study is closed and reported at this point, but your amateur built, you're still collecting, and if people want to be a part of that, they still can?
They absolutely can.
And they can come find you
on your website and our website, both on the EAA website, on the NTSB website. And
what about here on the grounds?
Right here on the ground, come around to the Federal Pavilion. In the corner of the Federal Pavilion, we've got a nice big display there and are ready to take on folks. We've got about 5,000 so far that have replied. 5,000 replies to this survey, and it's quite detailed. It gets into the nitty-gritties of the experiences, but it's that's the kind of data we need in order to make safety recommendations. That's the data that that our industry really appreciates and is able to act on.
Well, this is the kind of place to pull everybody together, isn't it?
It is. So. And it's a fun thing.
Yes,
it's
it is.
It's a fun thing for all of us.
It's always, always nice to be able to mix those things.
Sure it is.
So, well, thank you very, very much for being with us. This has been Bob McIntosh, the Chief Advisor for International Safety Affairs with the National Transportation Safety Board. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Magneto Mel. This has been Push to Talk on EAA Radio 93.3 FM and EAARadio.net.